Christmas usually brings back a lot of memories, doesn't it? For most of us, we grew up in homes where Christmas was a traditional celebration, and we have a lot of traditions and memories that we think back to when we think of Christmas, even though there's a lot of negativism in the world and a lot of tragic things take place. It seems like around Christmas time, most of us can remember back to Christmases in the past and think of something that brought joy. Think of something that brought happiness, and we repeat that each year in our hearts and our minds as we think of the Christmas story and what it means to us, how that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christmas is a time when people remember. And what is it that people do remember around Christmas time? Most people remember the traditions. We kind of joke about it, but I tell people that my wife is making me watch all these Hallmark movies. And I tease her. I say, once you've seen one, you've seen them all. Because they all have the same plot, you know. People are caught up in the sharing of the joys of the traditions that they've shared since they were children. The Christmas tree lightings, the Christmas parades that they're going to, baking Christmas cookies, making gingerbread houses, Christmas pageants at the church, the family coming home for Christmas, the sharing and exchanging of gifts, old relationships being rekindled. There's a lot of love in the air. The spirit of Christmas is everywhere, and people are pulled to the old familiar customs and traditions that they were once so familiar with. Christmas is about memories. Christmas is about recalling traditions from the past that helped us to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. It's sharing those memories. It's reminiscing over the past. As believers, we have our own unique set of traditions, our own memories that we like to recall each year as we consider the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas is illustrated for us on many of the Christmas cards we send each other, especially the Christmas cards that Christians purchase, purchase and share with each other. Did you know? I just heard this year, and this was kind of a blessing to my heart, that you go to the store and you see the secular Christmas cards and you see the religious Christmas cards. Did you know that religious Christmas cards outsell secular Christmas cards 2-1? People still go for the true meaning of Christmas when it comes to sharing sentiments and memories and the meaning of Christmas. And so we have the traditional Christmas cards. The most popular scene, of course, is the manger scene, the nativity with Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and animals all around a crib and the baby Jesus lying on the straw, usually with a halo around his head. And then the second most popular one is the little town of Bethlehem off in the distance with a bright star shining over a manger. And then The third one would be the three wise men coming to visit the Christ child bearing precious gifts from afar. Other popular Christmas cards that Christians send is the symbolic dove, sometimes with an olive branch in its mouth, because the dove is the symbol of peace. Peace on earth. And then we see all of those that we enjoy, the beautiful country church in a winter wonderland scene, with lots of snow, lights beaming brightly through the windows of the church, usually a horse-drawn sleigh crossing a stone bridge, and if you look real close, there's always a red bird or two somewhere in the scene. And then the Christmas carolers, all bundled up in long coats, top hats, and scarves around their necks, singing with great joy at the door of a quaint little cottage that's brightly lit and decorated for Christmas. All of those are scenes, illustrations of what we think of, what we remember, what to us displays the true meaning of Christmas. One Christmas song that I think captures the memories of what Christmas is all about, and it's done in a subtle way. You have to stop and think about it, but in the song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" You really catch a mental image of what Christmas is all about. It's not a very old song either. It was written in 1962 by a man named Noel Wrigley. And it was made popular by Bing Crosby in 1963. Said the night wind to the little lamb, "Do you see what I see way up in the sky, little lamb? Do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite." Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea." Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, "Do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold." Said the king to the people everywhere, "Listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child, sleeping in the night, will bring us goodness and light. Will bring us goodness and light." How we remember Christmas. How we remember Christmas. What is Christmas all about? It's outlined for us in John chapter 3, verse 16. We see Christmas as a memory of God's love. God so loved the world that He gave. We see the memory of giving, God's giving to us His only begotten Son. And then we see the memory of God's grace, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just want to share some thoughts on those three things this morning, focused around, and I want you to capture the thought we're remembering. Today is a day of memory, what Christmas is, what Christmas is all about. How do we remember the Christmas story? What does it mean to us? And then the challenge at the end is going to be not only to be thankful for it and to rejoice in what God has given to us, but we need to share it with the world. The world's not getting to be a brighter place, folks. It's getting darker all the time. In fact, in a physical sense, I mentioned to my wife, and then the subject came up with a cashier at a store last night. I had to run in and buy some last-minute food items, and the cashier was talking about, you know, people just don't have the Christmas spirit. And then I mentioned what I had shared with my wife a few weeks ago. It doesn't seem like there's as many Christmas decorations as there used to be. We used to get in the car and drive out through the country and through the communities and look at all the brightly decorated houses. And now you'll go past five or six or seven houses that have absolutely no decorations at all. And then you'll come to a couple that are brightly decorated and still really into the spirit of Christmas, but there's less. There's less Christmas decorations. There's less Christmas spirit. There's less of an understanding among people of what Christmas is really all about. And so may we not forget, may we remember, first of all, that Christmas is about God's love. God so loved the world that He gave. Love is so amazing. Love is so amazing. I remember when I wrote that statement in this message today, I thought back a few years ago, and it may have been the last Christmas cantata that I sang in. But I remember we sang Chris Tomlin's song, "Jesus, Messiah." Name above all names. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. The rescue for sinners. The ransom from heaven. Jesus, Messiah, Lord of all. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him," as Deb just sang. "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." We all really enjoy or love Romans 5:8, but God commendeth, He demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love is amazing. Love so amazing. We remember Christmas is about God's love. In the Christmas song, "Born in a Manger," that the choir beautifully sang a few minutes ago, and we'll sing, I think, again tonight, "Born in a Manger Long Ago, How Could the Savior Love Us So?" Isn't that an interesting question? Did you ever stop and think about that? Bill expressed that so well in Sunday school class this morning. We never get over the amazement that God not only loves us, He likes us. He wants us to be a part of His family. He adopts us into His family. Love so amazing. How could the Savior love me so? He left His throne for Calvary. He came to earth for me. We shouldn't get over that. We should never cease to be amazed by God's love. May Christmas time be a time of remembering how much God loves you and I, how much He loves this world, that in love God laid down His life for us. 1 John 3:16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." And then it doesn't stop there. It says, it goes on and it says, "And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." We ought to lay down our lives. We ought to be selfless, giving creatures, sons and daughters of God, who understand that agape love is giving ourselves to others. It's giving ourselves, doing something to help others. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What does that look like? To lay down our life for the brethren. What does that mean? The next two verses explain. Going on there in 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, it says, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" You see somebody in need, and you say, "Well, God bless you," or "I'll pray for you," and you go on your way, when you could do something practical to minister to that person's need. "My little children," John writes, "let us not love in word." Don't just say, "God bless you," or "I'll pray for you," or whatever. Don't just love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed. In doing things, in deeds, and in truth. Agape love requires us to do something, to demonstrate God's love. God demonstrated His love. While we were still sinners, He gave His Son to die for our sins. Peter writes, "See that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently." Remember one day there was a lawyer that came to Jesus asking, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered, "What does the law say?" The lawyer knew the law. He says, "Well, it's written in the Word of God that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And then the lawyer asked, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And Jesus went into the explanation using the story of the Good Samaritan to explain, your neighbor is anyone you see in need. If you can lend a helping hand to someone and help someone see the love of God through your actions, that person is your neighbor. In the song, "O Holy Night," it says, "Truly He has taught us to love one another. His law is love and His gospel is peace." And so Christmas is a memory of God's love. It's a commandment of God. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." How did he love us? He loved us by coming to this world, laying down his royalty, becoming a servant, going to the cross of Calvary, dying for our sins, being willing to be humiliated and punished, and then shed his blood for the atonement of our sins and to pay the ransom for many. Christmas is a memory of God's love. Let us love one another. Christmas is a memory of God's giving. He gave his only begotten son. An only child is especially dear to his parent. John refers to the Lord Jesus as the only son 5 times in his writings. In the Gospel of John, 4 times. John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Same chapter, verse 18. "No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." John 3:18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, because he that believeth is not condemned." Verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then 1 John 4:9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." So only begotten, God gave. Christmas is about God giving his very best, as we sometimes say. God giving that which was closest and dearest to him, his only begotten Son. The phrase "only begotten" means one who is especially beloved. We have an illustration in Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. God said to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him for a burnt offering." That was painful for Abraham to do that. Even though God didn't require him to go through with it completely, he was willing to do so because it demonstrated his love for God, his trust in God, his faith. He was willing to give his only son, the son whom he loved. And then in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, prophetically, Israel is going to come to the point one day where they will be grieved over the fact that they rejected the only begotten of the Father. It says, "I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. And they shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." The only child. Christmas is a memory of God's giving his only begotten Son. Oh, how much God gave us that day. In the song, "The Birthday of a King," it says, "'Twas a humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From the manger bed, what a path had led. What a perfect holy way." Theologian Albert Barnes says, "The highest expression of love that we can conceive of is that a parent would give up his only son to die for others who are guilty, would show higher love than could be manifested in any other way. So it shows the depth of God's love that he was willing to give his only son into the hands of sinful men, that he might be slain and thus redeem them from eternal sorrows." John Gill says, "The object of God's love and delight in whom he is ever well pleased, and yet such is his love to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews that he has given him into the hands of men and to death itself. Let's remember today, as the song Ring the Bells says, Christ was born in Bethlehem many years ago, born to die that man might live, came to earth new life to give, born of Mary, born so low many years ago. God the Father gave his Son, gave his own beloved one to this wicked, sinful earth to bring mankind his love, new birth. So the amazing thing is not only that God gave his only begotten Son, but it's amazing in what he gave him to do or to become. He gave him to become sin for us, that we might be rescued from perishing to this wicked, sinful earth to bring mankind new birth. Christmas is a memory of God's love. Christmas is a memory of God's giving to us his only begotten Son. And Christmas is also a memory of God's grace, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Do we deserve the blessing of not having to perish, not having to be separated from God for all of eternity and be spend eternity in hell? Because we are all sinners, right? God's grace is when God gives us what we do not deserve. He gave us his only begotten Son so that through what his Son would accomplish, he could give us forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven where we will never perish. God's grace. God is not willing that any should perish. We read that in 2 Peter 3:9. Paul explains that this is the character and the nature of God, that he would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth in 1 Timothy 2:4. And that's why he sent Jesus to be the light of the world. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Life eternal. Life everlasting. 1 John 1:9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then God commissioned us, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to become the light of the world. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What is the ministry that we have? The ministry that you and I as believers have is to shine forth the glory of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. To be the light of the world, to shine and let people know who Jesus Christ is. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency and power may be of God and not of us. And so I believe it's appropriate for us to capture and apply the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to ourselves as well. In Matthew 4:16, when he said to his disciples, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And before we object to the idea of good works in the Christian's life because of grace and mercy, which is true, we also need to keep in mind the words of John in 1 John, let us not love in word or in speech, but in deed and in truth. The things that we do, the good works that we do for others by demonstrating God's love through us to them. God's grace has provided us with God's gift. Should not perish but have everlasting life. John 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And John writes again, 1 John 2:25, this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. So those who have Christ in their heart That includes most of us sitting here this morning, I'm sure. If we have Christ in our heart, then we know what Christmas is all about. We don't have to have a preacher stand up and explain it to us over and over again, but we do so because we need to be reminded, first of all, because we forget to rejoice. We forget to worry. We get caught up in the negativism of the world, with the pessimism, the spirit of unthankfulness that is going to be characteristic of the world as we approach the day of Jesus Christ, Paul tells Timothy. Because of all of that, we need to be reminded to rejoice, to be happy. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. So we need to be reminded to rejoice in the great love that God has demonstrated to us. That's what Christmas is all about. Rejoicing in the birth of our Savior. Secondly, we need to be thankful. We can't ever be thankful enough. We need to be thankful each and every day, many times a day. We need to be reminded, give thanks to God. And so we can be thankful for the amazing grace that God has demonstrated to us in saving us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And then finally, we need to share that gift with others. We need to let our light shine among men that they might see Jesus Christ living in us. We need to be performing deeds of kindness, acts of agape love. We need to be Jesus to the world. We need to let people see Him reflected through our life so that they can see that He has indeed made a difference in our lives. In an hour and a half, my wife will be attending the funeral of her brother, 54 years old. He made a profession of salvation when he was a child, several times. I had an opportunity myself to lead him in a prayer of salvation on one occasion because he didn't have the assurance of salvation. But he became an adult. He went into a very wicked lifestyle. He didn't want to hear about God, never attended church, never spoke about the Lord, lived out of fellowship with God all of his adult life. And my wife, since she got this news Friday morning that a blood clot suddenly took his life, my wife has wept since Friday morning because she says, I don't know if he's saved or not. I don't know where he is now. If he really understood the gospel when he was a child and made those professions of salvation and prayed to receive Christ, we hope. Or maybe in the last hours of his life before he took his last breath, he had time to think about all of the wasted years of his life and confess his sins to God. We can only hope. But dear friend, eternity is no joke. Eternal life is a real gift from God. It's not something to play around with. It's not something to take for granted. And if there's one challenge that I would leave with you this morning, 2 days before Christmas, that when you get together with your families, and undoubtedly many of you will be doing that, and like us, you will have family members who don't want to hear about God. They don't want Jesus to be a part of the Christmas celebration. Remind them. Just remind them. Somehow, some way, remind them. Christianity is real. And it's not something to take for granted. That if you want to spend eternity with God instead of in hell, you should at least give Him the courtesy of giving Him the honor that's due to His name today. Father, we pray that You would give us the joy of Christmas in our hearts, the celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a reminder of what Christmas is, that Christmas is all about remembering that You love us with an everlasting love. You loved us so much that You gave us Your only begotten Son. Christmas is about Your giving to us the very best that You had, You not reserving or not holding back what we needed. We give each other trivial gifts at Christmas, and a lot of things that we give each other, we don't need. They don't need. But You gave us exactly what we needed, Lord. You gave us Your only begotten Son. And Christmas is about the memory of Your grace. We didn't deserve this gift. We did nothing to earn this gift. It's not by works which we have done, but according to Your grace, You saved us. Lord, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, and we thank You for Your peace. Christmas is about peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding can be ours through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we demonstrate the peace that You have placed in our hearts as we get together with our families this year. May we communicate to them that we have no fear of dying. We have no fear of the future. We know that our life is in Your hands, and we are at peace with You. And Lord, we just ask that the true meaning of Christmas would be communicated through us as we rejoice and give thanks this Christmas season for what You've done for us. And Lord, before we close this service, I just want to ask You that if You would be dealing with the heart of some individual in this place today who needs a Savior, that You would make it very real to them that You love them, that You would make it very understandable to them that You do not want them to perish. You do not want them to spend eternity separated from You, but that by Your grace they can receive Jesus Christ as a free gift, and through Jesus Christ they can receive salvation, which is an eternal gift. And I pray, Father, that if You are speaking to that heart today, they might understand and they might call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Dear God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins and save me for Jesus' sake." In His name we pray. Amen.